Praise God. Good morning. If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings, the 10th chapter. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. And before we get there, I'd just like to say a few things. First, I just want to thank you, Father, for bringing us here today. Thank you for bringing us from the places that we were in life to where we are now, into your place, the place of your presence, the place of your goodness, the place of your blessing, the place of your honor, the place of praise, and the place of worship. We thank you. Well, I want to say before we get to that, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 10, and verses 1 through 8. Before we get to that, I just want to share how this message came about. The name of it is Identify the Body. And I've known some folks that have had to identify the body of their dear loved ones. And when you go and you have to identify the body of a parent or of a sibling or of a child, it's got to be one of the hardest things to identify their body. Somebody that has passed on through accident or whatever, and they have to confirm that they are who they believe they have. And that's not what this message is about. It's about identifying the body of Christ. And at 3 a.m. yesterday morning, the Lord awoke me and spoke in my spirit these three words: identify the body. And I had a message I've been praying on, working on for 3 or 4 days this week. But great is our God to speak to us in one breath of time, in one breath of the divine. Praise God. Identify the body. Number one, I have 3 points to give you. And it may seem like it's not in conjunction, but it's what God gave me. Praise God, and I give Him the glory. Number one, identify the body, is from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. The central message of the Word of God is the cross. God came to earth born of a woman to die in our place for our sin, that we by faith might be born of God. Jesus Christ is the new covenant, and the cross is the meaning of the new covenant. Identify the body. Number two, the half has not been told. And that's where we come to 1 Kings 10 and verses 1 through 8. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I had heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." And verse 8, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." And of course, when we see this, we don't think of Solomon, but we think of the Lord. Amen. "For happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." Thank God for His wonderful wisdom. Thank God that the half has not been told. And thank God that The half has not been told, but I feel like for you and I and millions of the fallen sons and daughters of Adam's lost race have come to God through the blessed blood of the everlasting covenant. And thank God forever, our choruses of praises will echo through eternity, for He has carried you and I from death to life through faith in His finished work of Calvary. On February 13th of this year, 2013, I heard the other half, which was not just salvation, but was sanctification through the blood as well. And I had heard that my whole Christian life, but I could never piece it together. I could never find how it works to live a victorious life. And praise God for the hope of it. And I had the hope, but I did not find the way to do that. But the cross is a double cure. The old hymn, hallelujah, praise God. The old hymn proclaims, "Be to me a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." And praise God. Let's just go over to the book of Romans. And we're going to be just studying a little bit this morning on sanctification. And I'm going to go over to Romans 6 and verses 12 through 16. I'm talking here about sanctification, reading from the Expositor's New Testament. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin, the sin nature, therefore reign, rule in your mortal body, showing that the sin nature can once again rule in the heart and life of the believer. If the believer doesn't constantly look to Christ and the cross, the mortal body is neutral, which means it can be used for righteousness or unrighteousness. That you should obey it in the lust thereof, ungodly lusts are carried out through the mortal body, if faith is not maintained in the cross. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Neither yield your members of your mortal body as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, the sin nature, but yield yourself unto God. We are to yield ourselves to Christ in the cross, and that alone guarantees victory over the sin nature. As those who are alive from the dead, we have been raised with Christ in newness of life, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This can be done only by the virtue of the cross and our faith in that finished work, and the faith which continues in that finished work from day to day." It's a day-to-day thing, thank God. In verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." For sin shall not have dominion over you. The sin nature will not have dominion over us if we as believers continue to exercise faith in the cross of Christ. Otherwise, the sin nature most definitely will have dominion over the believer. "For you are not under the law." It means that if we try to live this life by any type of law, no matter how good that law might be in its own right, we will conclude by the sin nature having dominion over us. But under grace, the grace of God flows to the believer on an unending basis, only as long as the believer exercises faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. Grace is merely the goodness of God exercised by and through the Holy Spirit and given to undeserving saints, which we all are, and we thank Him for His mercy. Verse 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid." What then? This presents Paul going back to the first chapter, first question he asked in this chapter. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? If we think such a thing, then we're completely misunderstanding grace. The grace of God gives us the liberty to live a holy life, which we do through faith in Christ and the cross, and not licensed to sin, as some think. God forbid. Every true believer hates sin. So the idea of living under this dominion is abhorrent, to say the least. Verse 16, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The believer, I want to go back here, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, the servants you are to whom you obey. The believer is either a slave to Christ, for that's what the word servant means, or else a slave to sin, which he will be if he doesn't keep his faith in Christ and the cross, whether of sin unto death. Once again, allow us to state the fact that if the believer attempts to live for God by any other method than faith in the finished work of Christ, the believer will fail, no matter how hard he otherwise tries, or of obedience unto righteousness. The believer is required to obey the word of the Lord. He cannot do that within his own strength, but only by understanding that he receives all things through what Christ did at the cross and his continued faith in that finished work, even on a daily basis. Then the Holy Spirit, who alone can make us what we ought to be, hallelujah, can accomplish his work within our lives. Remember the song, you know, that he will make us as we ought to be. Hallelujah, praise God. Thank God. And so we thank him for that. And point number three, identify the body. The Holy Spirit's, actually there are four points. I said three earlier. Number three, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And let's go over to Romans 12. And verses 1 and 2. And we all know that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And let's just go with verse 1 for now. I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg of you, please, by the mercies of God, all is given to the believer, not because of merit on the believer's part, but strictly because of the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word sacrifice speaks of the sacrifice of Christ. It means that we cannot do this, which the Holy Spirit demands, unless our faith is placed strictly in Christ and the cross, which then gives the Holy Spirit latitude to carry out this great work within our lives. Holy, that which the Holy Spirit can do alone, acceptable unto God, actually means that a holy physical body, i.e. example, is all that he will accept, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable if we look to Christ and the cross, otherwise impossible. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, the ways of the world. Let me just read the whole verse first. I don't want to confuse you. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world, the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must start thinking spiritually, which refers to the fact that everything is furnished to us through the cross and is obtained by faith and not works. That you prove what is that good is put to the test and finds that the thing tested meets the specifications laid down. An acceptable and perfect will of God presents that which the Holy Spirit is attempting to bring about within our lives and can only be obtained by ever making the cross the object of our faith. Here's my take on God. Take him. Hallelujah. And number four, point number four of identify the body is meet at his feet. And let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Everybody here has heard this verse. It says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is important that believers assemble together, ever how the meeting might be conducted, encouraging one another in the faith, especially during these last days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we have to do this. And as the Holy Spirit began to write these things through me, some of them right at the moment, some that I had written a while back, but he just began to speak to me. And he said, you need to remind each other, identify the body, remind each other of his mind for you. He is a God of extremities, and His reach knows no boundaries or limits. In fact, God's extremities are incalculable. They cannot be numbered because His greatness is unsearchable. Hallelujah. Identify the body. Tell each other, He was ransomed for our righteousness. An amazing feat is to place your life at Calvary and at His feet. We are ever surrounded by His love. You and I are in covenant through the blood. Sometimes because my wife really loves me, my wife will remind me of basic things that I need to do. She corrects me to protect me, and I have to remind that. Otherwise, I'll say, don't treat me like a child. But aren't you and I glad that our Father, that He treats us like a child, His child. Amen? Praise God. And that's what I love about God, is that He treats me like a child, His child. And He does the same for you. Praise God. Now let's turn, you can turn to Amos 9:6. And I just used a little bit of the verse there. And the part that I looked at is that it is He that buildeth His stories in heaven. Hallelujah. And I know that God was talking about actual buildings. We know about the city of God, amen, in New Jerusalem. And the breadth and the height and the depth. And I believe a mile wide, a mile high, and so on, Pastor. It's going to be an amazing place. And the thing that is true, and God had shown me before, I may have shared this with before, it is He that buildeth His stories in heaven. He builds in heaven Pastor Rich's story. Brother Punk, Brother Craig, Sister Sue, Sister Eileen, and Sister Mary Ann, and myself. He builds our stories in heaven. That's where they're built. They're built through the blood of the Lamb, and they're built through the word of our testimony. Amen. Our stories are being written in crimson, and that's where they started, and that's where they'll end. Hallelujah. Thank God that our stories are being built in heaven. And thank God it is He that buildeth His stories in heaven. And we think of Moses drawn from the water, drawn by the grace of God. You and I are drawn by the grace of God, who buildeth His stories in heaven this morning. And He's building your story. Amen. Hallelujah. One brick at a time, He buildeth His stories. One brick at a time from the word of His righteousness. We praise God that He's continuing to build, that even though it is finished, His work in you is not finished. And you're going to continue to praise. You're going to continue to worship. You're going to live for God. You're going to continue to learn. You're going to continue to do exploits for God. You're going to continue in God because you belong to Him. And He is the one that buildeth His stories in heaven. And He is not through writing in you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, these canons of Scripture here that were given to all kinds of different men in 66 books moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, written through them by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And He's still writing through you and I. He still continues to write in our lives. And we're not writing anything new. Everything we've learned, the message of the cross was given to the Apostle Paul. It's not anything new. Hidden for centuries and centuries and centuries until it was revealed again. And it was always there. There's nothing new. Praise God. And Pastor used to say, "If what's that little thing you used to say? If it's old, it's not new." Or,
"If it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new."
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so that was again. So I want to put that on here. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. Praise God. Thank God that He continues to build. It is He that buildeth His stories in heaven. Because you and I are written in crimson, telling us that we are forgiven. He's the master carpenter. He's writing His word in our heart by the penmanship of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Right on, Lord. Every hyphen, every comma, but no period. For you are ours, and we are yours forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's turn over back a little bit. The same book. Or not the same book. I want to go right now to Hebrews. To the book of Hebrews. And I want to look at... We were just there in 10 before you went to Amos. And let's look at a great verse. Hebrews 10 and verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're the one that buildeth your stories in heaven. Hallelujah. As we turn in our Bibles, we turn to you. Because we're looking for you. And we're not so much letting our fingers do the walking, but we pray that your fingers are doing the walking, that your tongue is doing the talking, that your feet are moving in our feet. We praise you and give you glory this morning, for you're wonderful. And your ways are past finding out, but we're going to try. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I love this verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And what that speaks to me is that my sins and your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. In the future, as long as I maintain my faith in the Lord and what He did at the cross and ask Him to forgive me. Every time I go to 1 John 1:9, I'm going to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. To be confessing that He is great and wonderful. And He's cleansed us of all our sins, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. Thank God that I want to put many applications of blood. Hallelujah. I mean, when people paint their house, they begin to paint. They got to put so many coats on it. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Cleanse me. I need your cleansing. I need your cleansing every day, every moment, every hour, every minute, every second. Waking and not waking. Praise God. I need you. And I thank God that I may have mentioned this before, that the interior paints the exterior. Hallelujah. And His life that is in me, that is in you, He talks to us spirit to spirit. And He cleanses us from the inside out. And so we thank Him, we give Him glory, and we give Him praise. And I want to tell you a little story that really touched me that I heard just the other day. There was a couple folks that were going to a family worship center, and they were a mother and father, and they had a daughter. This is many years ago this happened. They had a daughter that was beginning to go away, was going away from God, was going her own way, and she was attending rock concerts all over the place. And she was going to these concerts, and she was able somehow to get a pass backstage to party with these rock stars. And we don't know, need to go into details, but we know that there's all kinds of wicked things that go on in these places where they have these meetings, where they bring in these young gals or whatever after a rock show. And what happened is she went in, you had to go through a door. Now this particular rock group had a witch guarding the door, an actual practicing witch. And she was guarding the door to let these young gals in, who she wanted to let in and who she didn't. And the young gal came up and she says, "You can't go in. You can't go in there." And she says, "Why not? I've got a pass." And she said, "You're a Christian. You can't go in." The young girl said, "No, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian." She said, "Then your parents are Christians." He said, "When you came in, I saw a quadrant of angels all around you. And you can't come in." Hallelujah. Thank God that, praise God, that she came back home to the Lord. And that your prayers, chase your family. I'm here to tell you today that there is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. He'll chase your children with steadfast love, and your prayers are under the wings of the Almighty. He'll chase our brothers and sisters, our siblings, and He'll chase your grandchildren, your family, your friends, co-workers. He'll chase even your enemies when you're praying for them. You know, when it comes to questions in life, let God fill in the blanks. Hallelujah. Praise God that He continues to chase those who we pray for. We can't see it, but God is doing it. And He is doing it. And He is ever there. We don't know exactly. The Bible really doesn't make it totally clear. We know that in Psalms He says He gives His angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And God knows and is in charge of the ministry of angels. I think it's much bigger than we know. I think that God has them. His angels are around us, protecting the loved ones that we're praying for, being ministers as heirs to them that are to be heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. And I believe that it's going on, and we can't see it. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see the ministry of angels, and all the glory will go to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because of what they did here, what they're doing right now. And we have no idea what they're doing, but we know that it's from God and that it's good. Amen? Praise God. So we give Him all the glory for the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He spoke to me yesterday the word leaves. And this, as many of you know, I've told it to you for many years, this is my favorite season. The season of fall. When the leaves are most beautiful, shining in the sun, reflecting His beauty, His majesty in the peak of their splendor, they fall before the foot of the tree. To the one where their life did spring from, to rest forever. And I feel it's kind of like an allegory of you and I, or an analogy, I want to say. That, praise God, that, you know, when they're most beautiful, shining in the sun, reflecting His beauty, when all the colors come out, His majesty in the peak of their splendor, they fall before the foot of the tree. We fall before the foot of the cross. And to the one where their life did spring from, to rest forever. Hallelujah. Remind our brethren, as we identify the body this morning, of priority prayer mail, packed in praise and whispered in worship, stamped with the blessings of God. You know, we got a credit card the other day that said Chase Freedom. And I'm thankful for you and I that freedom chases you forever, and that His love has no stop sign for you. It's a throughway through His Son, a freeway, that His love has no stop sign for you, because He'll never stop loving you. His love is unending. Praise God. The moment you and I were washed in the blood, we reached perfection. His perfection. I touched the hem of His garment when I by faith, and when you by faith, praise God, called upon Him. And He let His virtue flow into your life and into my life. And now we're redeemed. Now we're saved. Now there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine and it's yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we love to tell the story. A sinner has come home. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Psalm 138. And I know it's a beautiful verse. It's one of our dear sister Donna, who's departed to glory. Favorite scriptures, because she always used to quote it. Psalm 138. In verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. forsake not the work of thine hands. Hallelujah. I just thank God that we, when we by faith look to Him and what He did at Calvary, we reach perfection. And all that is wrong with me, all that is wrong with you, the Lord will perfect, accomplish that which concerneth me. Hallelujah. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy hands. And what I'd like to say now is that He will accomplish that. What He designed you for, it will be accomplished. Praise God. It will be done. It will be done by the Son. I just thank God that it's true. You know, you and I have been assigned by the divine. Praise God. What we look like and where we work, we've been assigned by the divine. And I'm going to say that again toward the end of the message, but I just wanted to put that in right there. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Thank God that He will not forsake the work of His hands. You and I are the work of His hand. We're on the potter's wheel. Amen. Wheel on, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you got to tell each other and identify the body. Tell each other of the trampoline of His grace. I come lowly to the cross and God brings me up higher. Hallelujah. I come lowly to the cross. Hallelujah. And He brings me up higher. Hallelujah. Thank God for the trampoline of His grace. Hallelujah. Our tell comes from where we dwell. Hallelujah. Traveling through Pennsylvania when Sue Ellen and I took that little trip. And one of the things is, as we crossed the line in Pennsylvania going there, one of the things that God spoke to me, and as I said it to Sue, and then He spoke to me in my spirit as I said it, you and I are already in the state we're headed for. Hallelujah. You and I are already in the state we're headed for. When we cross that bloodline, hallelujah, we were already in the state. We're on our way to heaven, hallelujah. Shouting all the way because this world has nothing to offer. Only God has the best offering that was ever given. And we're going to rejoice in Him and His goodness and His love and His mercy forever and ever. Praise God. We give Him glory. Well, let's go over to 1 Kings. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings and the 4th chapter in the 33rd verse. And He spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of the beasts and of the fowl and of the creeping things and of fishes. Praise God. But what leaped out to me was, and He spake of trees from the cedar tree that is a lemon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Praise God. No matter what wall you're up against in life, be like the hyssop tree that springeth up out of the wall. Hallelujah. Thank God because of the blood of Christ and His mercy and all the benefits of the beloved that come from Calvary. You and I are able to spring up out of whatever wall is against us in our lives. Be it physical, be it emotional, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Be like the hyssop tree that springeth up out of the wall because He is the spring in my step. He is the joy of my soul. We need to remind each other the blackboard of God, the blackboard of God, that there is no sin He can't erase by His holy grace. And when I confess my sins, I go back to the cross. And remember, God has enough grace to cover every failure you and I will ever face. Amen? And a little story about a football player by the name of Archie Manning. He was a great football player for Ole Miss. And he was faithful, went to Sunday school 13 straight years. And his father, when he was going into his junior year, he came home when his father didn't feel like going to the wedding with his mother and his sister. And he went into the room where his father was and found him. committed suicide and taken his own life. And it had an effect on him. His dad never really told him. He knew his dad loved him, but he never really told him. That's the way that fathers were a lot back in the old days. And what happened was he wanted to make sure that he told his three boys that would later come in his life. He married the homecoming queen. Her name was Olivia from Ole Miss. And he wanted to tell his boys that he loved them every day. And, of course, their names Cooper, Peyton, and Eli. And just a story about them, the two youngest boys went on to be Super Bowl champions, Eli twice, and led their teams as a quarterback. And, of course, he probably was a little sad, sent him to college. All he got was a quarterback. But praise God. At any rate, what happened was is that Cooper was first. He went to SMU. But what happened was is that he was a great receiver. Peyton threw to him in high school, and he caught a lot of passes. He was going to be probably in the NFL. He was really talented. He got a disease, which was narrowing of the spinal cord. In fact, he didn't know it, but if he would have gotten hit, he could have been in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He went in, he had an operation 6 inches from the top of his skull all the way down his spine, and he almost didn't make it, had a blood clot. But his one brother, Peyton, said, and he wore his father's number, Cooper did, number 18. He told him he couldn't face him because he couldn't handle it. He wrote him a letter and he said, "I'm going to dedicate the rest of my football life to you. And I'm going to play for you. You will play through me." And isn't that what God did for us? That we live His life. We live our life through Him. And He took our number that was destined for failure and has caused and brought us to gloriously victory. Amen? Glorious victory through His Son. And tell one another that He moved on our behalf to make us whole. No matter what happens, see red. And I'm not talking about being angry. Hallelujah. The hands that hold the stars hold you and I. You and I are not scrap paper that God writes on and wrinkles up and throws out. But God writes in our hearts that we might take it home to Him forever. Hallelujah. Let's just have another scripture here. And it's Luke 15 and verse 5. Luke 15 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God that Identify the Body is the name of the message today. And thank God that our identification is found in Jesus and no other place than Him and in the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And in Luke 15:5, we're on His shoulders rejoicing. Praise God. I'm almost there. Plumber's fingers. Okay, Brother Jack. Luke 15:5. And when He has found it, He lays it on His shoulders rejoicing. And what God spoke to me was from the part, on His shoulders rejoicing. He is carrying you and I, and you and I are on His shoulders rejoicing. He's holding me up by His perfect righteousness. What's beneath the surface will resurface unless we cross surrender. Surrender your failure to the finished work of the cross, which is where the Holy Spirit will minister grace to your very specific situation, bringing victory, glory to God. And when it comes to cross surrender, I have to step down before God will step up. Hallelujah. I burst my buttons with praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I do burst my buttons with praise. And hope bolts on the scene when you know the Nazarene. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God in believers will install grace for growth in us. He brings winter at times to our lives that we might experience His glorious spring. Hallelujah. The good seeds that God has planted in us are about to spring up. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Hallelujah. The mustard seed effect. No matter how small spiritually you feel, You might be in spiritual stature. Your little seed, God will match her. Hallelujah. Praise God. You and I have been assigned by the divine. We've said that before. What we look like, where we work, is assigned by the divine. There are folks in this body that died of cancer. They don't have it anymore. They have God in totality. Hallelujah. Death has been vanquished by He that is life. And pain has given way to victory because He lives. They have crossed Jordan by He that is the river of life. As a believer, you can get past many things, but you'll never get past the blessings. And Sue Ellen, if you come up with me, I'd like to sing that one song again before we close. Hallelujah. So this morning, we identify the body. We identify Him in the death of His Son and in the life of His Son through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Lift up your hands, praise His holy name, for He alone is worthy of our praise. There is no other name on this earth whereby we may be saved. Lift up your hands, praise His holy name. Lift up your hands, praise His holy name. For He alone is worthy of our praise. There is no other name on this earth whereby we may be saved. Lift up your hands, praise His holy name. Lift up your hands, praise His holy name. For He alone is worthy of our praise. There is no other name on this earth whereby we may be saved. Lift up your hands, praise His holy name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Father, we just thank You and we pray that Your blessing be upon all those that are coming, and Your blessing be especially upon all those that are not coming, that they may be coming in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.